Keith, congratulations on the new book.
Thank you, Cindy. Thank you.
Your 50th collection of work.
It's amazing, isn't it? Scribble, scribble, scribble.
What are you exploring in Fidelities?
These poems fell together, and I've been thinking a lot about how imagination and memory combine and they move through time. And so there are things – now, for me, it's much more easy to imagine the past. So memory blurs into imagination as I move further back and past, long out of my old the parameters of my own life. A little bit harder for me to imagine the future, although there is at least one poem that goes 70, 60 years in the future in this collection. So I was realizing that there was a continuum across history and prehistory that my imagination kept – popping in and out of. So I organized it as a chronology. Of course, that chronology slows down a lot when you get to the tiny little section of my own life. So,
well, it's interesting. There was a phrase you used, and I wondered what it meant. For a moment in your memory, a moment in imagination, to have earned or demanded your fidelity.
Yeah. Well, what is it? What is it? I mean, part of it is just a recognition that these are the things I come back to. There are recurring images in my mind that clearly, constitutionally, I am faithful to. They come back. And of course, there are the things in one's life that one realizes when you get to be a certain age, and I have achieved that status, that these are the things that I have been faithful to. Isn't that amazing? I didn't feel coerced to it, and of course the book is dedicated to my wife. And you know,
speaking of being faithful,
exactly. and I wasn't coerced, and it just happened.
Well, give us an idea of what's in your new chapbook. I'm wondering if you'd read the poem that's called "Statue of a Blind Girl."
I will.
Tell us a little about it.
Yeah, this is a statue that's in the University of Michigan Museum of Art. It's on the first floor. It's called Nydia, the Blind Girl of Pompeii. It's a little bit kitschy. It's sort of in that Victorian way. It's the first piece of art ever owned by U of M. It was given by an alum in 1850. Nydia comes from a book. She was the blind girl in the city of Pompeii who sold flowers. She was in love with the nobleman when the volcano erupted. Nobody could see, but she didn't need to see. So she led her lover, but he stopped to pick up his lover, to the boats and took him out. So it's a mix of – and, of course, it all ends up tragically.
Of course.
Really, really awful novel by Edward Bulwer Lytton called The Last Days of Pompeii. I don't recommend it. But nonetheless, it's a great story. So and there's that beautiful piece of art in our museum. So I wrote the poem about her. Statue of the Blind Girl. Nydia, the blind flower girl of Pompeii, after Edward Bulwer Lytton and Randolph Rogers. Randolph Rogers was the sculptor. She listens, not to the green world exploding around her, not to Vesuvius howling. The hour has come of two working in the field, one shall be taken. Of two women grinding wheat, one shall be taken. Vesuvius erupts and the black clouds descend. Now we know this is the hour when the thief will come. She listens, not to the temples collapsing or the birds crying from shriveled gardens. She listens for the one voice who must call, the one who knows, now that the hour has come, that she can take us to the boats. And she suffers with our trembling earth, gagging like the rest of us in this closed air. But when we walk around her to the shadowed side, closer to the wall, we can see the hidden profile, the one that disguises her joy, now that the hour has come, the one that shows her smile.
Whew. That's Keith Taylor reading from his new chapbook, Fidelities. Now, let's change gears a little bit. What do you see as the role of a poet?
Well, that's a tough one. That's a tough one, because I think there is a role of a poet, although it's pretty hard to define and certainly very hard to convince anyone else.
What's in your mind as you approach
it? I think that there is a language of poetry. There is that effort to find metaphor, that effort to place things that do not usually go together side by side. And I think that that means something that communicates – I don't want to use the word information, but that communicates meaning the same way other kinds of things can communicate meaning. It is, in many ways, its own language, which is one of the explanations for why poetry has such a small audience or people come to it only occasionally when they need it. My comparison, my metaphor, is the language of mathematics. The language of mathematics is very exact, and it means something. It means only what it says in that language. And I think in many ways poetry is the same way. There is a part of the human experience that is expressed in metaphor and in the association that comes with poetry of two different things. And that is whatever part of that imagination is fed only that way.
Well, could you leave us with one final poem,
sure.
Allen Creek Drain?
That's a poem for it's dedicated to a friend of mine, Margaret Wong. And she was one of the people who organized this idea that we'll take the old creek bed, which is down just down the sloping hill between here and downtown Ann Arbor. There's a creek buried under there. And above that, there's a lot of land that's private or public that's not built on along that all the way from Stadium down to the river. And there's some people who want to make that a greenway through Ann Arbor. When they started this idea, politicians, of course, don't care because they'll never see the result of it, the end of it. It's going to take too many decades to happen. So it's been a difficult sell. But and that's what intrigued me. Well, these people are working so hard and so passionately for this, and they will never see the end.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, this is the ultimate act of generosity. So this is dedicated to Margaret Wong, the Allen Creek Drain. Somewhere under us, a creek finds its way to its river, and that river somehow finds its way to the sea. Somewhere under us flows the stream we buried years ago, once feared, now unremembered, unbidden, and necessary. Somewhere under us, the water that once flooded a green meadow oozes through the mud we've given it, downward to its drain. Somewhere under us, a liquid grace trying to find its way up branches into channels like blood in the arteries of our arms. Somewhere under us is a choice between fear and joy, between the water we are and the water we ignore. Somewhere under us, a creek finds its green way between strolling citizens of the city we have dreamed.
Keith Taylor teaches in the writing program at the University of Michigan. He directs the annual Bear River Writers Conference, and he's associate editor of the Michigan Quarterly Review. Keith will launch his new book, Fidelities, this coming Friday, May 1st at Literati Bookshop in Ann Arbor. And you can check out future readings and appearances on his website, KeithTaylorAnnArbor.com. As always, it's a joy to have you in the studio with us, Keith.
Great to be here, Cindy. Thank you.